ప్రేమస్వరూపులారా.
ఎంబాడిమెంట్స్ ఆఫ్ లవ్.
శాంతి నీ లోపల ఉన్నది కానీ బయట లేదు.
పీస్ ఇస్ విత్ ఇన్, నాట్ అవుట్ సైడ్.
అవుట్ సైడ్ నో పీస్, ఓన్లీ పీసెస్.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram from Prashant Nilayam, the most happening place on the planet. I'm PM Radio Sai's Bishu. The month of April has begun. Today is April 5th, 2018. April always reminds one of Kodaikanal, the blessed hill station in the Nilgiri Mountains, which was chosen by the Lord as His playground in the summer months. Since mid-80s, Swami's trips to Kodaikanal began, and it would always be for a few weeks, sometimes even 5 to 6 weeks. While Swami took a group of boys and guests with him, there were many who worked behind the scenes to make this trip happen and to ensure everyone stay inside Shruti. Swami's abode there is comfortable. And one person who was always a sort of permanent member of the troop was Mrs. Ratanlal. She always left a couple of days before Swami starts the journey to make all the arrangements, set up the kitchen, the rooms and so on. And she returned a day or two later after the entire team came back, because she wound up everything inside Shruti. In fact, since the 70s, she has always traveled with Swami, because Swami is all the time busy looking after everyone in the group. But it was she who looked after Swami. Given the selfless self that Swami is, you know, he would never think about himself, be it his food, his room, his sleep, his comforts. And after Mother Ishwaramma left her mortal coil in 1972, it was Mrs. Ratanlal who seamlessly took on that role, and she did it with so much of grace, so much of love, so much of commitment, and most importantly, sacrifice. In the previous episodes of Outside Inside Deep Inside, I shared with the story of how Swami orchestrated Mrs. Ratanlal's first darshan in Mumbai way back in 1965, and then her first trip to Parthi and the subsequent trips in 1966, and then we talked about Swami's visit to Mumbai in 1967. We also discussed how Mrs. Ratanlal was instrumental in the Rajmata of Navanagar coming to Bhagwan, who later on became a trustee of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. And in the previous episode, in the last week, we talked about the inauguration of the new building of the Anandpur campus that happened in 1971. And as I narrated this, I told you how, even as this happened, by the end of this episode, Swami had miraculously cured Mrs. Ratanlal of her painful ulcers, a problem that she had endured for nearly 2 decades. Just to recap this incident and add some more details which I was able to unearth. So what happened was, as we saw earlier, Mr. V. V. Giri, the President of India, inaugurated the Anandpur College, and Swami assigned the responsibility of serving food to the President's entourage to Mrs. Ratanlal. And so there was a pantry adjacent to the dining room. So she was there looking after the arrangements. And at that point in time, the Anandpur campus was partially ready. There were some things that were not working, and one of the things that was not working was a drain pipe of soiled water from the pantry. So there were many challenges. So somehow, after the President left, Swami wanted Mrs. Ratanlal to feed all the people who had come from Puttaparthi as guests. So she did all that. And by the time she finished, it was 4:30 in the evening, and water was not going out of the kitchen. There was a lot of pell-mell, and suddenly Swami comes and Swami rectifies that problem. Swami asks the staff to, you know, clear the clogged drain pipe, and all that works out. And then she goes back to the room and she has a hot water bath. And then Swami calls her and Dr. Gokak to his room, and there Swami starts talking about many things, largely spiritual discussions. And then Mrs. Ratnalal sees there are so many devotees who are waiting for Bhagwan's prasadam, because they want to receive the prasadam from Swami and then leave, because it would take them 3-4 hours to reach Bangalore. So she mentions to Swami, "Swami, please, our devotees waiting, they are waiting for your darshan." And Swami actually responds to Mrs. Ratnalal's prayer, and he goes out and he gives darshan and he distributes prasadam. And so she says, you know, she remembers that scene where Swami was sitting in the chair and Swami was picking a fruit from one packet and a sweet from another packet, and Swami blessed everyone, all the guests, with the prasadam, and Swami spoke to everyone. And it was 9 p.m. by the time the devotees finally left for Bangalore. And after that, Swami left, but she stayed back in the campus because she wanted to wind up everything else. There was a lot of silverware which had to be cleaned, dried, counted and packed in the boxes. So she finished all that work and she came around midnight. And now at that point in time, nothing was available in the house. At that hour, she was unable to eat anything. She was hungry. She just went to sleep. And after an hour, somehow she had this unsettling feeling. So she woke up with a feeling of nausea, and she vomited a lump of blood, and that, you know, her hand was full of that blood, and she tried to cup her mouth, and somehow she pulled a chair and she opened the window, and somehow she tried to, you know, spit out that blood. And for an hour or so, she was just continuously only vomiting blood, and somehow she felt better after a little while. So she slumped, into the chair. There was blood all over her clothes. Somehow she stretched out on the bed and she fell asleep. And again, she woke up at 5:15 a.m. That was the time when, you know, coffee used to be served for Bhagwan. So coffee had gone upstairs, and she heard Swami calling her. And but she was unable to get up. She had no energy to get up from the bed, but she could hear Bhagwan's voice again. Swami was asking her, calling out her name, but 4 times she heard, but she just could not get up. And at that point in time, the son of the host in whose house they were staying in Anandpur, he came and he helped Mr. Ratnalal to get up from the bed, and somehow she walked up to the door. And then that boy said, "Swami is calling you, Swami is calling you." And so this boy said, Mr. Ratnalal said, "Can you just get me a little water, get me a vessel of water?" So she somehow washed her face and they tried to clean her clothes a little bit. And, you know, she had not even brushed or anything. She just tried to get up and she tried to go. And somehow she walked slowly and she was trying to cautiously climb the staircase. And as she was doing that, she saw Bhagwan, and Swami came out of his room, and Swami, the first question Swami asked is, "What is outside the room?" And Mrs. Ratnalal couldn't understand what Swami was saying, because what was outside the room? She said, "Swami, there are trees outside." And he said, "No, what is outside your room?" And she said, "There is nothing outside my room, Swami. What can be outside my room? Probably there is a garden there." And then suddenly she realized that probably Swami may have peeped out of the first floor window and seen those splatter of blood and vomit. And she just kept quiet and she bent her head. And then Swami asked her to stretch her palm. And Swami immediately materialized vibhuti, sprinkled it on her palm and said, "Eat." And she ate it, and then Swami again extended his hand, and Swami gave his tumbler to her to drink. And as I was mentioning before, Mrs. Ratnalal said, "No, Swami, I will not drink from your tumbler." And she said, "Swami, I don't know how to drink from a tumbler without touching my lips to the tumbler. So if I don't drink it that way, everything will spill, this coffee will spill, and I cannot touch my lips to your tumbler, Swami. And moreover, this is glass, Swami. If and I have not even brushed my teeth, I have to be very careful, you know, the glass might fall, the coffee will spill, Swami, I cannot do this. Please forgive me, please forgive me. And Swami, when he heard Ratan Lal saying, no, I cannot drink from your tumbler, immediately Swami seemingly got very angry and Swami said, you see difference between yourself and me. For this you will go to hell. I mean, imagine the statement Swami is saying, why are you seeing difference between you and me? And she had no option. And she immediately took the tumbler and she was trying to drink the coffee, you know, without touching the lips. She had to drink it from Swami's tumbler, but she was trying to pour from the tumbler into her mouth, and Swami again smacked her hand and said, drink how you drink normally. Don't differentiate. And that is when she quietly sat down and drank the coffee. And then Swami asked her to sit on the stairs, and then Bhagwan went into the room. 10 minutes later, Swami came out. He created more vibhuti and gave it to her. Again, Swami gave her the glass, and Swami told her to keep the glass with her. And Swami went back to his room. Swami returned again after another 15 minutes. So this is what went on in the next 1 hour, 1.5 hours. Every 10-15 minutes, Swami would come out of his room. Swami would give her vibhuti. Swami gave her vibhuti 3 times in that interval of 30 minutes. And then finally, Swami told, you go to your room and rest. And Swami said, no need to come to the campus, to the Anandpur campus that day. She was feeling very listless, very weak. Somehow she descended the steps. She went back to the room and she lay down. After 45 minutes, Swami came to her room. And then Swami asked, how are you feeling? And she said, Swami, okay, I'm feeling okay now. And then Bhagwan left for the college. She rested for that 45 minutes. And after that, you know, she was just normal. She got up. She had all the energy back. She now wanted to get ready. She wanted to change into fresh clothes. Of course, she wanted to have a bath. And in that house, the washrooms were at the edge of the compound. So she had to really carry water across the compound. So she got buckets of water and she filled 2 half buckets of water and carried them one by one to the washroom. She got ready. She washed her clothes and everything. And she came back to the room fresh, almost like somebody has breathed new life into her. And she was in that spiritual reverie, you know, she was just thinking about what had happened. And suddenly she hears this noise of jeep outside her room. And a boy comes and says, Swami, Amma, are you ready? And she says, yes, I am ready, but Swami has asked me to rest. Swami has asked me to be in the bed. And the boy says, no, Swami has sent me to bring you to the campus. And that is how she got into the jeep. And she was hale, hearty, happy, rejuvenated. Even as the Anandpur campus got a new building, Mrs. Ratan Lal got a new life. Ulcers which had affected her since 1954. In the previous episode, I mentioned to you how she had gone on her world tour and everywhere she had suffered because of this ulcer, and now, in fact, she had mentioned to Bhagwan before also about her condition, but somehow Swami had never done anything, and she used to always think that, you know, Swami gives vibhuti to so many people and cures their illnesses, you know, those initial days of having come to his lotus feet, and she used to almost get the feeling that probably, you know, her bhakti is not adequate, or maybe she's not good enough for vibhuti to work on her. So all those thoughts were there, but that day she knew that perhaps that time was right for God's grace to melt into her being and correct all the darkness of her health. Maybe that was the time when karma was perfect. Maybe her karma ended and the Lord took care, you know. Swami knows the right time to fill us with His blessings. His blessings are always there. You know, we might be asking, but He knows when is the right time to do it. And there is nothing like delay, as they say, there is no, God's delays are not His denials. He might delay because He knows when is the right time for our body to get healed, for our self to get healed, so that when He does it at the right time, then it becomes the right opportune moment for us to move next step on our spiritual progress. Because whatever Swami does or He continues to do, it is only for our spiritual progress. He's not come to heal our body. He's not come to soften and please our mind. He has come only to uplift our soul. So He will do anything for the body and mind only if it is towards uplifting the soul. So maybe that was the right moment for her, for her spiritual growth. And that is the time when Bhagwan executed this beautiful Leela in her life. And He is the master of time. He is the controller of time. And He is the one, when His love falls on us, then nothing can remain that is dark in us. You know, in our bhajans we always sing this, Kalaya Namaha, Kala Titaya Namaha, Kala Kalaya Namaha. I think in all our lives we have these moments when we pray to Bhagwan for something and it does not happen, and then suddenly, unexpectedly, it happens, and it happens in a manner that is most memorable, and in a manner that today when we reflect, we know that that is the best thing that could have happened, and it happened in the best way possible. That is Sai. That is Sai, the controller of time and our destinies. That is what Bhagwan is. He is the embodiment of love, who is the Lord of Puttaparthi. In fact, there is another very beautiful incident that happened in 1971, in the same year, and now it is the healing that happened to Mr. Ratanlal. So what happened was, Bhagwan once told Mr. Ratanlal, I have given you life. And when The Ratanlals reflected on this. They knew that Swami was referring to what happened in 1971. So they were in Parthi for Dasara, and they were staying in the guest house on top of the hill. At that point in time, you had some rooms which were on top of the hill. And Swami used to tell Mr. Ratanlal that you have a car, so use the car, don't walk up and down the hill. But somehow Mr. Ratanlal used to didn't take this word of Bhagwan very seriously. In fact, before they came to Parthi, he had gone for a medical examination and the doctors had told that he has a weak constitution and there is a murmur in the heart. So Mrs. Ratanlal had told Bhagwan about his medical condition. And he told, and she used to always tell Mr. Ratanlal, why don't you tell Swami about your problem? And he always said, no. Why should I tell Swami? Swami knows. Why should I tell Swami? So she used to always leave it at that, because Mr. Ratanlal felt there is no need for him to tell Bhagwan about what is happening to him. So they had come to Parthi, and after they returned, they went back to the doctors again. And when the doctors checked now, they saw that his ECG showed symptoms of a recent heart attack. And now Mrs. Ratanlal told her husband that, you know, you have to get admitted in the hospital, but he didn't agree. So the doctors used to come to the house every day to check on him and take ECG. Things were deteriorating from bad to worse. Interestingly, Swami was sending letter to them every third day from Puttaparthi. And in one of the letters, Swami had written, how can you have a heart attack when I am there in your heart? Imagine what confidence it can fill you with. A letter from Bhagwan, how can you have a heart attack when I am there in your heart? And immediately there was another message from Bhagwan asking Mrs. Ratanlal to come to Puttaparthi. So she immediately packs up. She was doing her puja, so she just finished her puja and she took those 5 custard apples and milk that she had offered as prasadam in her home. And she quickly got ready. She packed a change and put this prasadam in a container. And she came to Bangalore. And when she arrived at Bangalore airport, she saw that there was someone already waiting to receive her. And she asked, how do you know that I was coming? And she said, no, that person said, no, Swami asked me to go to Bangalore to fetch you. And she had not informed Swami about her travel plans. No one knew which flight she's coming, when she's landing, but everything was arranged. So she reached Vrindavan, and as soon as she reached Vrindavan, Swami called her. But Swami didn't speak to her. But Swami just asked for that custard apple, you know, which she had offered to the Lord in her home in Mumbai a few hours ago. Swami asked for that custard apple. Very interestingly, she had brought what she had offered to the Lord, and Swami took that custard apple, and you know, Swami went up, and she was seeing what Swami was doing with it, and Swami started eating that custard apple, you know, almost telling her that this is what you offered to me, right? Give it to me. This is supposed to have come to me. This is meant for me. And later on, Bhagwan came down, and then she told Swami, the doctors are saying that Ratanlal has had a heart attack and they are saying there are no chances of survival. Swami, and you are saying, Swami, that there is no heart attack. How can a heart attack come? I don't know, Swami. I am absolutely confused. You tell me what is the real condition. Mr. Ratanlal is not taking care of himself. He is not resting. He is not sitting. He is just doing all his normal activities as if he is fine. Swami, what will happen? Swami heard everything. And Swami just kept quiet and then told her, you do one thing. You come on the 21st, attend the birthday celebration on 23rd, and you return. That is all Swami said. So Mrs. Ratanlal didn't know what to do. She immediately went back to Mumbai and she called up Dr. Dastur, who was her family doctor that night, and she told, see, I have to go back to Parthi, and you please take care of Mr. Ratanlal in my absence. Please have the specialist visit home, and please monitor his condition, and if there is anything urgent, you please call me anytime. And Dr. Dastur said, no way you are going anywhere, Mrs. Ratanlal. You don't understand what is your husband's condition. I'm warning you. We may have to send you word that he's no more. So please reconsider leaving now. I suggest that you stay back, because this is what is called a Chinese attack, where, you know, the symptoms will not show. It is not showing on the patient, but the ECG is deteriorating, and at any time, he might just collapse. But Mrs. Ratanlal didn't heed to anything that the doctor said. On 22nd morning, she quietly left for Parthi. She never spoke to the doctor again. She never spoke to anyone. She just packed a small bag, took a few clothes, went to the airport, bought a ticket and left. She arrived in Bangalore, took a cab, reached Puttaparthi, and as soon as she entered the ashram gate, she saw Professor Kasturi. Professor Kasturi was waiting for her, and Professor Kasturi said, you know, this is the third time I'm coming to the gate looking for you. Swami is frequently asking, where are you? Where are you? Has she not come? Has she not come? And Mrs. Ratanlal said, you know, Mr. Kasturi, can you just wait for, I want to visit the restroom. Mr. Nothing doing. You first go and see Swami. Swami is waiting. So she had to rush to Bhagwan, and she saw there Swami was standing there, and she said, Swami, can I just visit the restroom and come? Swami said, okay, you go. And Swami, and she came back, and when she came back, she saw that Swami was holding a plate of food in his hand. And Mrs. Ratanlal had really not eaten anything. Swami knew. Swami told, you first eat this, then you go, have a shower, and then you come to Shanti Vedika. I will be waiting for you there. Shanti Vedika is the stage in those days, you know, where the Sai Kulwant Hall is. In those days, there was a very small ground, and in one corner of the ground where currently the lady side is, there used to be a stage which is used to be called the Shanti Vedika. So Swami said, you get ready and you come there. So she goes there, and what had happened was, she saw that the curtains were drawn and there was something inside. There was actually a jhula, a silver jhula that was gifted to Swami by the Rajmata of Navanagar. And there were priests there, and there were puja materials. So basically that jhula which had been offered to Swami now had to be consecrated. A puja had to be done, just like when you have a new car, you know, you do a new puja. And since this was meant for Bhagwan, so a puja had to be done for the jhula. And she went there, and then Swami called Mrs. Ratanlal, and Swami said, you do the puja, start the puja. And Mrs. Ratanlal said, Swami, this jhula, this swing is given by the Rajmata. How will she feel if I do the puja? She will come and cut my neck, Swami. This is what she said. Swami, it is very dangerous for me to do this puja, Swami. She is the one who was donated, and it's good she does it. Swami said, you do the puja. Don't worry. Do the puja, because I am telling you to do it. When the Rajmata comes, if the Rajmata comes and if she cuts your neck, don't worry. I will restore it back. You go and do the puja. Okay, this is what Swami tells Mrs. Ratanlal. And she goes and she starts doing the puja of the jhula, of the swing. And then after a while, the Rajmata comes. And at that point in time, Mrs. Ratanlal was so apprehensive, you know, what will be her reaction. And Rajmata was so happy. She said that I was constantly worried who will do the puja, because I have no one from my family here. I don't have my daughter, and you are like my daughter. You know, you are my daughter, and I'm so happy that you are doing the puja. So this is how, you know, Swami orchestrated the whole event. If you see, Swami wanted Mrs. Ratanlal to do the puja for the jhula on which he was to sit on his birthday. As I was telling you before, they are chosen people, just like Mother Ishwaramma. just like Professor Kasturi, they were meant for very, very specific roles, and Swami wanted particular things to be done only by them, because these were souls which were specially crafted for the avatar. And so she did the puja. So this was 22nd, and she came back to the room on 23rd. You know, when the function was going on, she was sitting somewhere at the end of the hall. At that point in time, no one knew Mrs. Ratanlal. We are talking about early 70s. And suddenly, Professor Kasturi came looking for her. And only Professor Kasturi knew who is Mrs. Ratanlal in those days. And Professor Kasturi came to the end of the hall, and she found, and he found her. And she said, "Swami is calling you, Swami is calling you." So she went up, and Swami said, "I have told Mr. Jawa to be near the Ganesh gate. That taxi is there to take you to Bangalore. So you leave at 4 a.m. You will reach the airport at 7 a.m. You catch the 8:30 a.m. flight to Mumbai. Take the ticket and return to Mumbai with my blessings." All the arrangements Swami had done for her to go back to Mumbai. So she reached the Mumbai airport. She took the taxi, went home, and she didn't know what to expect given Mr. Ratanlal's fragile health when she left. She didn't know what will be the situation at home. She opened the door and she saw 5 doctors stepping out of her house. And Dr. Dastur, the family doctor, looked at her and said, "Congratulations, Mrs. Ratanlal. The attack has just passed off. Now we are very happy and relaxed. He's fine now. Nothing has happened." Kala kalaya kalatitaya. You know, when you follow God's commands implicitly with unquestioning faith, nothing untoward can ever happen to you. Because He is the controller of time. He is the master of time and space. In a moment He can change anything. But for that to happen, faith is primordial. Once we have this faith, then we can experience that deep love for Bhagwan. And once you experience the love, it reinforces the faith. So that's the very beautiful circle between the devotee and the Lord, between deep faith and deep love. Deep love leads to deep faith, and deep faith again strengthens deep love. In fact, it was this deep love that granted Mrs. Ratanlal the chance to start cooking for Bhagwan. In the first episode of this series on Mrs. Ratanlal, I shared with you how she began cooking for Bhagwan, how during the India-Pakistan war in December 1971, you know, food did not come for Bhagwan. The family which used to supply food every day to Bhagwan, they could not send because of all the curfew and all the lockouts that had happened. And at that point in time, Mrs. Ratanlal was with Bhagwan in Vrindavan, and for 4 nights Swami had not had dinner, and she was very worried. And you know, so finally on the 5th day she goes to Swami and says, "Swami, I'm really anxious about you. Swami, you have not had dinner last so many days. Can I please cook some things if you permit, Swami? I cannot make South Indian dishes, but I can make something." And the moment she asked that question, Swami says, "I have been waiting for you to ask me. Start cooking. I have been waiting for you to ask me." And then she says, "Swami, I don't know how to make sambar. I don't know how to make rasam, but I can make puri." I said, "Okay, I like puri. You make puri." So she makes puri, and then Swami comes to the kitchen, and Swami teaches her how to make sambar, how to make rasam, how to boil the pulses, how to do the seasoning. And that is how her journey started of being a personal servitor of Bhagwan and looking after the body that housed the cosmic consciousness. In fact, many years later, when she arranged Bhagwan's trip to Kashmir, that is a very beautiful story which we'll come to in the future episodes of this program. So she would make all the arrangements in the trip, and you know, as always, she would be in the background and she would ensure that, you know, everything is going on fine. And her attitude will always be that she's a servant. She's a servant. So one day Swami says to the students, call my cook. And so the students went and told Mrs. Ratan Lal. So Mrs. Ratan Lal thought, you know, maybe Swami is referring to that North Indian guy, because there were some North Indian cooks who used to help. So Mrs. Ratan Lal sent one guy by name Vishnu Bhatt to Swami. And Swami said, no, 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 call Mrs. Ratan Lal. For Swami, his cook was Mrs. Ratan Lal. That was sort of the official certification from Bhagwan. The one who nourished the body of Satya Sai was Mrs. Ratan Lal. Just like Professor Kasturi was Swami's biographer, but at the same time he was the postmaster of the Prashantinilayam post office in those days. He was the secretary of the ashram, he was the accommodation in charge, he was the translator, announcer, he was liaison, he was doing multiple roles. It was the same with Mrs. Ratan Lal. The chance to cook and serve Swami was one of, was that opportunity, was that medium to be close to Swami, but she did so many other duties, right from getting the high and mighty to Swami, to setting up the Vrindavan Anandpur campus, setting up the Vrindavan college, Vrindavan library, and doing so many things for the central trust. But all the time, she was that silent self, simple, sincere, silent, and constantly evolving, constantly spiritually evolving. And that is the reason why from the time she came, right from 1965 till Bhagwan's physical form was there, she was all the time there with Bhagwan. We have seen so many devotees who have come, who have had the experience of proximity, and after a while, they did not have the opportunity to be in physical proximity for very long. But Mrs. Ratan Lal was someone who, because there are a lot of tests when you're with Lord, when you're close to fire, the fire will at times burn you, it will purify you, but you should be able to withstand it. Because only when you withstand it, then you will shine like gold. But there are very few devotees who can take that fire and turn it to their advantage and glow in divine radiance. And that is what Mrs. Ratan Lal did. Till the last moment, she was there serving Bhagwan. In fact, there are so many very, very beautiful instances which happened towards the later on in her life, which just shows how much Swami valued her. But that whole process was not easy. It was a series of tests. But she is someone who, once she had the faith, she did not budge. But this whole process was so beautiful. In fact, the one incident again which happened in the early years is, in those days, on 29th April every year, she used to do a particular puja at her home. That date was very important for her. And so she wanted to return to Mumbai. She was with Bhagwan. And Swami said, why do you want to go back and worship a stone? I will accept Chinmaya puja, Swami said. The stone, as they say, is Mrinmaya, that is lifeless. And Chinmaya is consciousness. Swami says, why do you want to do stone worship? I will accept Chinmaya puja. I will accept the real puja. In person, I will accept your offering. And Swami came to her little home that day, and Swami sat down. And Swami asked her to do the puja as if how she used to do on that particular day, that Devi puja that she used to do at her home. And she did all that puja. And there is a particular moment during the puja where, you know, she clothes Lakshmi and Vishnu. And so exactly how she would have, should be doing. So she brought out the sari and so Swami asked, what is this sari for? And she said, Swami, this sari is for Lakshmi Mata. Swami said, see, Lakshmi Mata does not have to appear, because Lakshmi Ji is already there with you. I bless it. Now you take it and you give it to anyone else you want as my prasadam. And then Swami also partook whatever she had cooked for lunch that day as prasadam. Swami said, you give me the same food that you cook for Narayan Seva on the day of the puja. When you do the poor feeding after the puja, give me that same food. So she had cooked Punjabi food, North Indian food, puris and potatoes and halwa and chana and dahi balas and all that she had made. And Swami sat there and Swami ate everything that she had made. It was so unusual. We know how little Swami eats. But that day, Swami finished everything that she had offered on that silver plate. Swami even took the sweet. Swami generally never eats sweets. But that day he finished even the halwa. You know, what Swami likes or what Swami does not like has got nothing to do with the avatar. It has got everything to do with the relationship between the person and the avatar. We say Swami likes this, Swami does not like this. There is no liking and disliking for the Lord. His liking and disliking at every moment depends on the person, on the heart that is offering and what is offered, why it is offered, how it is offered. Here was an instance where Swami wanted to confirm to her that what you always did to the stone, what you always did to those statues at home, I am that the same person who is receiving everything. And literally he received everything. He received the sari, he received the food. I am that consciousness that receives all your puja. I am the one who has been receiving all your adoration that you have been doing for years together. Prema rupaya partivasaya. And that is what the Lord is, you know. He was trying to tell her that don't differentiate. Like in the previous instance, Swami told her, don't differentiate. Don't see the separateness between you and me. Here, these were the initial stage of a journey. And Swami was telling, don't see the difference between the worship that you do at home and the worship that you do to me in person. It is the same. This is another incident that happened again in Dharmakshetra. This was again in those years. One day, 7 a.m. in the morning, a senior devotee of Bhagwan comes to her and says, Swami has asked you to do Pada Puja. And Mrs. Ratanlal had never done Pada Puja, never done this worship of the feet of the Lord. She didn't know how to do it. And that was the time when she was just getting ready for her puja. So she just finished her puja. And then, you know, because these are the initial days, she didn't know how to react and how to prepare oneself for such occasions. She almost started crying, and she, in the end of her puja, she used to always garland Bhagwan. She used to make a huge garland in the end of her puja. She used to offer it at her home. So she thought that, you know, it's a bad luck. Swami is calling me now and I have nothing with me to do the worship. So she just took that garland and she went to Dharmakshetra with whatever little puja material she had. And she went to Swami and she said, Swami, I have never done this puja before. I don't know what to do, Swami. And Swami said, it is the same what you do every day at home. It is the same puja. So do the puja as you do every day. What you do, as you recite the mantra, you place a flower on my feet. But only thing, don't wet my feet too much. Don't put too much water. That's all. So Swami stood there and Mrs. Ratanlal did the puja. So she used to take these rice grains, you know, with turmeric and kumkum, and she used to chant the mantras and offer it at Bhagwan's feet. And then she used to wash Bhagwan's feet again with water, and she went on doing this again and again. And she was careful to see not to use too much water. She had a special cloth to wipe Bhagwan's feet in case it got too wet. And she finished the entire puja. And in the end, just how she used to offer the garland to the Lord, she offered the garland and Swami accepted that so gladly, with so much of love. Almost telling, you know, that puja that you are doing every day in your puja room, it is the same person I am receiving it. Just think about it. At the same time when she is doing the puja at her home, she gets this message that Swami is calling, come and do puja. Again and again in those day, Swami was trying to instill in her that every time you sit down and pray in your altar, know that it is not different from the Swami that you are seeing and interacting outside, be it in Dharmakshetra or Puttaparthi or Mumbai. It is the same Lord who is there in your altar, who is there in Prashanti, and who is there in your heart. He is the same Antaryami. He is the same cosmic consciousness. He is the same Purnavatari who accepts every little wish of yours, every little prayer of yours, every day you worship. Know that I am accepting this. I am the one who has always been there listening to everything that has emerged from your heart with love.
Antaryami Sai, Antaryami Sai, Purna Brahma Avatari. Hey, Giridhari, Hridaya Vihari, Krishna Kunja Vihari. Giridhari Hridaya Vihari Krishna Kunja Vihari.
So even as, you know, she started living with Bhagwan and she started experiencing this Lord who is the indweller, who knows everything, who is the one who is the controller of everything, who knows our innermost desire. At the same time, there are so many times when you saw the human side of Swami. In fact, one evening when Swami was dining at a devotee's house, she had made parathas, you know, these chapatis with oil and ghee, because the guests wanted that, and so she had made that. And the next morning, Swami says, the last night the parathas were very nice. She had made this only for the guests. And when the guests told Swami, Swami, the parathas are very nice last night, Swami said, what are you talking about? I have not had any parathas. I didn't get this. So immediately Mrs. Ratanlal, the guest said that, you know, Swami mentioned this, so probably, you know, you should make for Swami. And now she was worried how to make for Swami, because Swami does not like oily stuff. But she had to make because Swami had asked for it, and Swami said, I don't know, I have not eaten parathas. So she did make parathas. And what she did was, she took a tissue paper and, you know, she wiped off the extra ghee, because she did not want Swami's fingers to get soiled with the oil and the ghee, with the residual ghee on both sides of the paratha. So she carefully cleared all the oily material and then served Swami those parathas. And Swami had those parathas, and she says, I never knew Swami would like all kinds of parathas, stuffed parathas, potato, cauliflower, radish, you know. Swami enjoyed everything that she served that day. Again, you know, you will think, oh, Swami likes parathas. It's nothing to do with Swami liking or not liking parathas. It has got to do, we never know, there will be so many dimensions to it. It has got to do with Swami wanting to give her the joy of seeing Swami eating parathas, you know. And we many times should think, oh, Swami will eat only South Indian stuff. No, Swami eats everything. Swami is absolutely universal. If the guests want that Swami should eat paratha, Swami will eat parathas. If you serve parathas to him with love, he will eat parathas. He has got nothing of his own, as Swami says, you know. He is just Bhava Priya. He is all the time as per the feeling of the devotees. So there were all, so many moments like this. Only when in deep reflection, you know, she found that when you work with the avatar, when you interact with the avatar, sometimes he behaves so human. Sometimes he would ask questions seemingly unaware of situations. Sometimes he would ask to do things which appear very odd. Sometimes he would look as if he's angry or he's annoyed. But she learned that everything was absolutely Maya. It is just that you have to maintain your equilibrium. Because there are so many instances, suddenly he will do something and which will alert everyone about who he truly is. Because all the time he is interested only in spirituality and nothing else. Only in our soul, only in the culture of our soul and nothing else. In fact, there's one occasion in the early 70s when Swami was talking to a group of devotees and Mr. Ratanlal was sitting there around Bhagwan. And Swami was explaining some spiritual matters to that group. And suddenly, Mr. Ratanlal saw that there was a lovely red apple from Kashmir on his lap. Swami was actually explaining Tattvamasi, you know, the deep concept, the deep spiritual truth, thou art that. And suddenly, this apple appears on his lap. And that was Mr. Ratanlal's favorite variety of apple. And he wondered, how did this happen? He didn't even feel anything. So he asked Swami, where did this apple come from? And Swami very sweetly smiled and said, oh, you didn't have tiffin. You didn't have your afternoon snacks, isn't it? So I thought you might be a little hungry. And that shocked Mr. Ratanlal. I mean, there was absolutely, Swami didn't wave his hand. There was nothing. It was just a thought. Even as Bhagwan was talking, it was just a thought, perhaps, which had just materialized. And he tried to put that apple into his pocket. And, you know, probably he thought, I will share it with everyone else or with my family later. Swami said, no. It is meant for you. You eat it right now. In fact, Swami brought out a knife and Swami cut the apple into pieces. And Swami asked everyone to eat. So there are these moments when suddenly you will see something that divine will do, which will part this veil of Maya. But otherwise, he is all the time trying to act like you, speak like you, be like you, so that we feel kinship with him. But as Mr. Ratanlal says, we have to all the time maintain our inner equilibrium. Engagement with Swami, she says, was always unexpected and inexplicable, yet being with him was extraordinary and wonderful. Well, that is what life with Bhagwan is. I was telling you that the journey of Mrs. Ratanlal is the journey that Bhagwan talks about as our stages in spiritual growth, where you say that the light is in me, and then you begin to experience that you are in the light. You know, when you are in the light, when you are in God's presence, when you are in His physical proximity, yes, you are in the light, but that light will constantly try to remove the darkness in you, and sometimes that can be painful too. That light might even try to cut something unpleasant in you, because that light wants that you shine. So that process happens once you are in the light, so that one day you become the light. I am the light. The light is in me. I am in the light and I am the light. That is the journey of Mr. Ratanlal. You know, Ratan is a gem, and that's why I call this series a diamond of a devotee. She truly is a diamond of a devotee whom the Lord cut little by little, little by little, in so many ways that, you know, she shone respect resplendently as a multifaceted servitor of the Lord. There are so many lessons to learn from her life about how she related to other devotees, how she inspired other devotees, how she guided other devotees, how she tutored other devotees, how she was instrumental in so many people staying back, you know, in passing the test that Swami put, because she was someone who understood who Swami is. And once she had that conviction, she stuck to it till the end. In fact, even after Bhagwan left his physical form, she never left Puttaparthi. She stayed on and she continued to guide devotees, students and normal pilgrims who came to Prashantanilayam and told them not to lose faith, not to lose sight and not to get confused, not to lose your focus on who truly Sai is. So in the future episode of this program, I will share with you so many more instances from her life. There are instances from the early Vrindavan days, how, you know, Swami put her through so many tests. Those are really very, very powerful instances and something that every devotee should listen to and learn from. And then there are instances when Bhagwan went to Kashmir, there are instances of how she has seen Swami resurrect the life of so many devotees. And then the guidance that she gave to so many people about how to work on the spiritual path, how to walk on the spiritual path and how to conduct ourselves in society and with Swami. So there are many, many, very beautiful lessons of life that will pray to Bhagwan that he gives us the opportunity to dwell on her life so that we too can imbibe a little of that divine light, can invite that light to enter into us so that one day we become one with that light. Thank you so much. Saram.
My
మధుసూదన మురారి గిరిధారీ హృదయ విహారీ కృష్ణ కుంజ విహారీ గిరిధారీ హృదయ విహారీ కృష్ణ కుంజ విహారీ అంతర్యామి హృదయ విహారీ కృష్ణ కుంజ విహారీ గోపాల కృష్ణ కుంజ విహారీ హే గిరిధారీ హృదయ విహారీ కృష్ణ కుంజ విహారీ